could get the giggles now. So our question this evening is, doesn't God love us all? Which seems simple enough, doesn't it? And on one level, the answer is very simple. Yes, he does. One of the most famous verses in the Bible, John 3:16, it's the one that you always see at the back of sports crowds, speaks of God loving the world. The world with all its beauty and the world in all its ugliness. Ugliness that we've seen all too clearly over the past few days with the events in Paris. But seeing that ugliness means that at best a one-word answer is simplistic. And at worst, it leaves us asking what kind of God could love us all when some people do what they've done. So let's stop and think again about our question and consider, what are we really asking? Because there's more than one way to ask a question. I don't know if you've seen Ridley Scott's movie, which is currently in cinemas, The Martian. It's the story of an astronaut accidentally left stranded on Mars. And eventually, NASA get in contact with their missing astronaut, whom they presume dead, and they begin to formulate a plan to rescue him. Now, apparently, that's not a straightforward option. Who'd have thought it? And it's not helped by the fact that they can only communicate via typed messages. And it turns out that this rescue plan that they formulate will have one or two, shall we say, eccentric elements to it. And these elements are communicated up to Watney, the astronaut, and back comes his reply, typed out in, and I've softened the language slightly, but there are a number of stars and asterisks in his, "What the heck?" Whereupon the Mars project coordinator back on Earth asked one of the flight controllers, "How do you think he meant that? What the heck?" with a sense of wonder and excitement. "I get to do that?" Or, "What the heck?" with a sense of disbelief and outrage. I think it was probably the second one she replies. And I think she was probably right. But you see, we could ask our question this evening in one of two ways. We could ask it with a sense of confidence. "Well, doesn't God love us all?" In which case, sit back and relax. It's all fine. He's the divine equivalent of the overindulgent parent who doesn't really mind what you do. The kind of parent that many teenagers and beyond think sounds great, but who turns out to be deeply frustrating, not to say uncaring, because they don't really care what you do. So if we ask our question in that way, assuming it's all fine, well, the answer is a little different than just a simple yes, because it makes assumptions about God that simply aren't true. It makes him out to be some kind of slightly weak, benevolent figure who doesn't have the strength of mind or conviction or anything else to really care about what we do. Or worse than that, he's just a disinterested bystander to the whole thing. And a God like that is not actually a God who loves at all. Because love is more than turning a blind eye to things. In fact, love is exactly the opposite of that. So to go back to our parenting analogy, loving parenting means providing boundaries, not simply letting a child do whatever they want. Love must involve a sense of justice, or it becomes mere apathy. See, if God doesn't care about what you and I do, if anything goes, if there is no moral centre at the heart of the universe, if God doesn't care, then he's little short of a monster. Especially in the light of all that we've seen and heard on our news screens in this past week. A God who doesn't care about that is certainly not loving. You see, when I see stories in the news, or I read them in the newspaper or on the internet, I want God to feel the same outrage and distress that I do. In fact, I want him to feel it more, because mine is too weak. And more than that, I want him to do something about it, because he can, because he is God. And the good news of the Bible is that his hatred of evil, of maliciousness, of violence towards the weak, of oppression of the disadvantaged, is immeasurably stronger than yours or mine. You see it again and again throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It matters what people do. So doesn't God love us all? Well, amazing, the Bible says that yes, he does. But he is also a God of justice. And that justice is an outworking of his love for what is good. Now, I watch the news, and I'm glad that's true of God. But it also leaves me with a problem. Because whilst I like the idea of a God of justice who will deal with evil, so that I hate the way of asking this question that displays such confidence that suggests people can just get away with stuff, well, the problem is that I find myself under accusation too. Because I've not loved as I should. I've not lived as I should. And if justice is to be done, as it should be, then I'm the one in trouble. Which leads me asking our question in a slightly different way, doesn't it? A worried way. Doesn't God love us all? I mean, that's what I've heard, but really? Even me? With what I've done? I don't see how that could be true. I don't see how he could love me. See, some of us struggle with that simply because no one has ever really shown us genuine love. Not without a regular critical comment or a put down to keep us in our place or a reminder of our failings. But here's the wonderful message of the Bible, shown most clearly in Jesus. God loves the unlovely. God loves the unlovely. Because God's love does not just mean justice, it also means mercy. See, there's a misunderstanding about Christianity that often circulates. It assumes you have to be good enough to be a Christian. You have to be well-behaved, sorted, together, good. It's not true. Christians are no better than anyone else. And sadly, some of you may have experienced that for yourself, for which I'm sorry. But to be a Christian is not to be good. It is to accept that you're not, and to ask for forgiveness from a God of love. Because love involves sacrifice. If you saw any of Children in Need last week, you'll have seen some examples of that, of parents and siblings who have given up so much to care for those who are suffering. Love involves suffering. And we see that supremely in the God of all the universe giving himself to die on a cross. Well, why, you might wonder? Well, it's so that justice might be done, because wrong things do matter and do need to be dealt with. So evil is taken seriously and it is dealt with, but God himself takes what we deserve for what we have done wrong so that we might be forgiven. And more than forgiven, so that we might be changed, because it matters how you live. And putting your trust in Jesus means inviting him to change you because you recognize you are not what you should be. But living differently does not earn his love or qualify it for us. Jesus gives himself for you and for me, not because we're lovely, but because he loves us. See, the cross tells us that God does love us all. The question is, how will we respond to that love? Well, if you want to think some more about this, do take a gospel around. There's copies of Luke's gospel on your tables, and you can see more of God, who God is in the person of Jesus. You can see his opposition to evil there, and his mercy and love to all he meets. Thanks very much for listening. If you want to ask any questions, then do so, and enjoy the rest of your evening.